Is the Antichrist alive today? Will the temple be rebuilt? Are we living in the tribulation? What is the mark of the beast? Is Armageddon just around the corner? These questions and many others burn in the minds of millions. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. Yet the secret to understanding the last book of the Bible is not current events or recent history, but within the rest of the Bible. The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff covers today's most asked prophecy questions. Much more, it reveals why answering them correctly matters so much today. Yet it does not offer another model of the end times. Rather, it presents a method by which you can read the Bible for all it's worth. The Apocalypse Code unravels the mystery of current and future events and paves a path in scripture interpretation. To order, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it on our website at equip.org. Set sail for a week at sea with the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Word. This coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010, the 7-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship. The topic throughout our week will be the Word as we explore the unfathomable riches of the God-breathed Scriptures and how we can apply these great truths to our lives. To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises. Starting at just $599, cabins are going quickly. So register soon by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101. Or by going online to equip.org. Defending the truth of the gospel because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the Bible Answer Man is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. To join us on air to ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. And now, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A delight to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your question on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. Just picked up a testimony from the mailbag. Thank you very much for your ministry. I have been a Christian for a number of years, but you have given me a much better understanding of interpretation and doctrine. My mom became a Christian about a year ago, and last Christmas, I sent her the complete Bible Answer Book. It really opened her eyes and helped her in witnessing to my uncle and aunt. I now currently understand Revelation much better after listening to your broadcast over several years on KKLA, and missed you dearly when you went off air. I'm writing you to tell you that I heard a pastor on the radio say the other day, he said to his congregation that Israel had every right to kill Palestinians, to get them out of Israel. It made me sick to my stomach. What made it worse is that if I hadn't started listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast several years ago, I probably would have agreed with him. Now I know three things contrary to what that preacher said. God is not a land baron. He's not a racist. And biblical literacy is taking the church by storm. Biblical illiteracy is taking the church by storm. It's really a plague. Thank you so much for your continued ministry. You are making a difference for time and for eternity, for our blessed hope, Jesus Christ. And that's the bottom line. However you consider the meaning of the millennium or the timing of the tribulation, the bottom line is Jesus Christ is coming back again. And when he does, he will put all things to right. When he comes, he will forever deal with the problem of sin and Satan. And he will restore this universe to what it was before sin entered the world, and we will live in that restored, resurrected universe in resurrected bodies. That's the hope of the believer. In the meantime, we experience all the maladies that are part of the human condition. And resurrection gives us the hope that one day all of that will be but a distant future. A distant memory in the future, I should say. Something that we will know we have been redeemed from by the precious work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you love the truth, if you love the gospel, we do ask people to stand with us so that we can continue airing the broadcast on KKLA and other stations around the country. Stand with us, if you would, prayerfully and financially. We need your support to stay on stations around the country. Without your support, it simply won't happen. So stand with us. You can do so on the World Wide Web at equip.org, prayerfully and financially. You can give via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Let's go first up to Chris. He's in California. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Hank. God bless you, your family, and your ministry. I just have a quick question, I hope, anyways. My wife and I are devoted Christians. We love Christ. And my question is, were these angels that my wife and I saw? It was about the same time 2 years ago where I saw black-bodied figures going back and forth in my hallway a couple of times. And then my wife and I at the same time saw a transparent image, one run or float from the room that I was in with my handicapped son and out of the room as she was coming into the room from the hallway. She saw it scurry past her very quickly. Although I saw that at the corner of my eye, she, before she came into the room, she goes, "What was that?" And I knew right then that she saw the same thing I saw. Mm-hmm. Now, what I'm curious about is there anything in the Bible that shows, because I'm a Christian, they're not supposed to be anything but angels. And because I'm a Christian, I'm just trying to figure out what is the difference between the black body figure that I saw and the transparent body figure that I saw.
Well, I love the way you're asking the question, Chris, because you're formulating the question in light of what does the Bible say? And I think that's really what you have to do. You have to take the feelings and experiences that you have in this life and test them in light of Scripture, hold fast to that which is good. Now, in Scripture, we know that God has the power to take on human form. In fact, I was just reading the book of Joshua, and in chapter 5, you have Moses talking about the fall of Jericho. And he says, now when Joshua was near Jericho, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as a commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Now, what we have here is a description of the angel of Yahweh, which is a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. So God can, because he has creative power, take on human form. We know that demons cannot do that because demons do not have creative power. We also know biblically that human beings, when they die, their body goes to the grave and their soul ends up in the presence of God or in torment. And therefore, human beings cannot come back to this world and will not come back to this universe until such time that the Lord Jesus Christ himself returns. So we can rule out the notion that this is a ghost, because ghosts are the stuff of mythology, not theology. We can rule out the notion that this is a fallen angel, And you can rule out the notion that this is God. Now, God could appear to you, but your description makes it unlikely that this is an appearance of God. And we also know that God has, instead of giving us an appearance of himself, has given us a reservoir of himself in his word. So God speaks to us now through his word, and therefore, if we want answers, we go to his word for answers. So again, I can't tell you what you saw or what you didn't see, because I can't deal with personal anecdotes. I can only say, whether I have that experience, Chris, or you have that experience, we have to do precisely what you suggested in the prologue to the question. And that is, we need to test this in light of Scripture and say, at the end of the day, I can't explain this, but I have tested my feelings, because feelings are notoriously unreliable, as are experiences. And I know one thing, it's not a demon, it's not God, and it's not a ghost. And so I would then go into the Word of God and continue to fill yourself with the truth of the Word of God, and say, I don't have an explanation for what happened. I experienced it, but I know what it can't be.
Yeah, well, the only answer, you know, that I really had, just from my basic Bible knowledge, was it was an angel, and it wasn't a bad angel. The angel's there to protect us, and nothing's bad had come about anything with our family. It was just like a one-time thing. We might see things here or there, but we always, first thing we do is we explain it away. And then, I believe this is a house of God, and I mean, we, our own little residence here, and that God has sent his angels to protect us.
Well, and therein you have absolute certainty, and I think you can rely on that. And certainly, Chris, it is possible, as I said, that angels can take on form. It certainly is not normative. If it happens, it would be a very unusual experience. Certainly happened biblically. It could happen again. So you can absolutely rule that out. But I would say it's highly unlikely that that happened. But again, I can't test your experience. I do think, though, that you are testing your own experience in a correct fashion, because you're using the Word of God as the basis for how you're contextualizing the experience you had. I'm going to have to leave it at that, Chris. Thank you so much for your call. God bless your wonderful family. We'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast in just a moment. Please don't touch that dial.
The first step toward intimacy with God is to make prayer a priority. Once we grasp the significance of a dialogue with God, prayer will no longer be a mere duty or discipline. It will become a delight, for it is the very means for bringing us into the presence of the living God. The Prayer of Jesus, Secrets to Intimacy with God, is the perfect tool to jumpstart your prayer life and put you on the road to experience intimacy with God like never before. You can request your copy of the audiobook or softcover edition with study guide on our website at equip.org, or by calling our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man after this short break.
We have assembled for the first time ever some of the great luminaries of the evidence for Christ in the world. These people have been assembled for one purpose, and that is to present the case for Christ to you. And in the end, it's your responsibility, your opportunity to come to your own conclusion in the case for Christ.
Based on Lee Strobel's best-selling book, The Case for Christ is now on DVD. One skeptical journalist:
I thought the idea of an all-powerful creator of the universe was just an absurd idea.
Investigates the most important story in history. Lee Strobel and biblical scholars explore the evidence for the life of Jesus.
Now, it would require more faith for me to maintain my atheism than to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Investigate the evidence for yourself.
The Case for Christ. Look for it on DVD.
Order this DVD and the entire Lee Strobel 3-disc film collection by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.
It is reading and interpreting the passage in light of what the Bible says, not my imagination.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. But how can you benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times? You can with the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has helped to assemble what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Informative and educational articles are written by Hank using acronyms that he regularly uses on the Bible Answer Man, including LIGHTS, showing how to understand the Bible, MAPS, demonstrating how the Bible is divinely inspired and preserved, DOCTRINE, summarizing essential Christian doctrine, and FEAT, an apologetic on Christ's resurrection.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
Some teachers outside the church proclaim we are God.
I'm just curious, where does God come into the whole secret?
Good question.
Yeah, God is all of us.
Other teachers inside churches proclaim that we are God.
If dogs get together, they produce what? If cats get together, they produce what? But if the Godhead gets together, what are they producing?
Well, who is God? Are we God? Everyday people make significant life and death, health and financial decisions based on faulty information about who God is and what He promises. And that is precisely why Hank Hanegraaff has written Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Thousands have been helped out of the faith movement by the Christian Research Institute, but many more must be rescued. To get your copy of Hank's Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or log on to our secure website at www.equip.org.
Join Hank Hanegraaff and top apologists Lee Strobel, Dr. James White, Steve Kreloff, and others as they present the God-breathed, unparalleled, and absolute authority of Scripture and challenge skeptics at CRI's national conference, The Battle for the Bible. Inspirational worship led by Grammy Award-winning composer Steve Camp. Highlighting this event will be a debate moderated by Hank between Dr. James White and Jesus Seminar scholar Dr. Robert Price. The subject is The Bible True. Plan now to attend The Battle for the Bible, a spectacular event you will not want to miss, May 6th through 8th at the Ennisbrook Resort and Golf Club in beautiful Tampa, Florida. For more information and to register, visit us online at equip.org or call 877-768-2784, extension 100. Now, back to the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
And again, I cannot emphasize how significant the Battle for the Bible 2010 CRI National Conference actually is. It's an absolute value on the one hand, a great place to take your wife and kids, particularly during this time of the year. You can celebrate Mother's Day, all kinds of events for the kids, for mothers. But beyond that, this is a time to get plugged in, to understand how to communicate that the Bible is a reliable authority. It is under siege, under attack, and we have to be on the vanguard of demonstrating that the Bible is, in fact, true. How do you do that? The weekend will absolutely equip you to do that for the rest of your life. That's not an empty promise. That will be a reality in your life and the lives of your loved one, and you'll be able to make a difference. Use your well-reasoned answer. God will use it to touch the lives of people for time and for eternity. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Sarah, KRKS, in Loveland, Colorado. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I am concerned about a friend who has become involved with Rabbi Ralph Messer's ministry out of Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, I have four young ones that I homeschool, and I don't have the time to fully research his ministry. I have other things I feel like are more valuable, and yet I care about her, and I've been just studying the Word of God to try and biblically show her why I feel like what he teaches seems to be off. But I just was curious if you were familiar with him.
Well, somewhat, but I haven't done any exhaustive research on his ministry or his principles.
Okay.
But I would say this, in general, this principle would apply to his ministry and others like him.
Mm-hmm.
The disciples expected Jesus to establish Jerusalem as the capital of a sovereign Jewish empire.
Okay.
Jesus not only corrected their erroneous thinking, but he expanded their horizons from a tiny strip of land
mm-hmm.
on the east coast of the Mediterranean to the farthest reaches of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when he said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you"? He was about to be taken up into heaven when he said that, and he said, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth."
Right.
In effect, Jesus left his disciples with instructions to leave Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
embrace the earth,
mm-hmm.
and never again entertain the thought of establishing an earthly Jerusalem. And Paul picks this up, very interesting, in Galatians chapter 4.
Right.
He illustrates typologically the fulfillment when he makes a contrast between Sarah and Hagar.
Okay.
"These things," said Paul, "may be taken figuratively, for the women represent two covenants."
Okay.
"One covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar."
Mm-hmm.
Now Hagar, and I'm just quoting Paul here, Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem because she is in slavery with her children.
Mm-hmm.
And then Paul says this, "But the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother." Now what is Paul saying? He's emphatically saying that all who fixate on an earthly Jerusalem with a rebuilt temple and reinstituted temple sacrifices are in slavery to types and shadows.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, all those who recognize that the shadow of Jerusalem found fulfillment in the substance of Christ are mm-hmm. set free to inherit the earth. So I think his focus is dramatically in the wrong place.
Okay, yeah. It's difficult when they say that, you know, all of these Hebrew words, there's six Hebrew words to one English word, and he's questioning all of this typical translations of the Bible, and it's just frustrating for someone like me to feel like, how do I come back, you know, with any, if he's saying, you know, you can't trust all of, you know, the typical Christian church, people who don't keep the Torah, and people who don't keep the feasts are missing out on this blessing. And obviously that's so in contrast to what the New Testament says.
Yeah.
But it's difficult when it comes down to all those translations.
Yeah, well, a couple things. First of all, I love the way you just expressed it. You're absolutely right in questioning the notion that we have to keep all the feast days. To
right.
know about them is one thing, but you have to know that they're fulfilled in Jesus Christ.
Exactly. And so, he does use all of those, you know, he does seem to be talking all about Jesus, and yet there is this sense of the only true way you can follow Jesus is through keeping the Torah still and seeing all of the messianic fulfillments throughout all the feast days. And I see the beauty in that. We celebrated a Seder meal this Passover, and it was amazing. It was so fun and wonderful and meaningful for our children. But I don't have a peace about when as she comes back with all of this literature, and I'm trying to seek it out and balance everything.
Well, it sounds like you're doing a very good job. I mean, I think the perspective, just as you have expressed it, is correct. I mean, you loved engaging the feast days on one level, but
right.
you also want to put the emphasis in the right place.
Yeah,
that
and,
Jesus
and not let
is
it distract from Christ's mission. And if somebody gets so consumed, I feel, with studying the Torah and, oh man, but then forgets that, boy, we're on a mission here to fulfill the Great Commission and tell people about Jesus. You know, it's like, it's all of that, I don't know, it's a difficult balance, and I'm worried that she's getting kind of pulled.
Yeah, and the other part of this, Sarah, which you allude to as well, is very significant. You can trust the Bibles we have today.
That would be something interesting for me to study. So I
yeah, here's kind of how the argument progresses.
Okay.
First of all, we have all kinds of manuscripts. Mm-hmm. So let's just talk about the New Testament, for example. We have 5,664 manuscripts, and maybe more now that I'm not counting, but last I looked, there was 5,664.
Mm-hmm.
They're not all the same. Some are lectionaries, church readings. Some are uncials. Some are minuscule. Some are papyrus manuscripts. But collectively, there are 5,664 plus manuscripts. Now, the manuscripts all have mistakes.
Right.
In fact, some have scribal insertions, but they don't all have the same mistakes or the same scribal insertions.
Hmm.
So through the science of textual criticism, someone can go to those manuscripts and they can figure from the manuscripts what the original would have said.
Hmm.
So take the illustration, if you write a page of prose,
right,
and you give it to five friends and you say, copy this for me.
Mm-hmm.
And they give it to five of their friends, and those five friends copy it. After a certain number of generations, you're going to have more than 5,000 copies, and they're all going to have mistakes in them, but they won't all have the same mistakes.
Exactly.
So even if you lost the original, you could get back to the original
with
the manuscripts that you had. Yeah. Now, what's further interesting about this is that you could get back to the originals, and the originals themselves clearly communicate the voice of Jesus Christ and the disciples,
yeah,
which is to say that all of them come to situations like the empty tomb or the death of Jesus Christ and use their own words and their own perspective to communicate them, but they're not in conflict, they're complementary. And that's what historians look for, a core set of complementary facts that do not scream collusion and also do not have contradiction. So we know that the disciples correctly, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, captured the voice of Jesus and what happened in the first century. So what we have in the autographs is not subject to legendary contamination, because the disciples codified this very quickly, the gospel writers and so forth, and the writers of the epistles, very quickly after the events themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the manuscripts, you can get back to the original. So that's kind of how you argue it.
Great. Well, thank you.
You're welcome, Sarah. Thank you so much for your call.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye. God bless you. Bye. And we have so many people with questions about the Bible. This is one of the things we're going to be doing at the Battle for the Bible conference. How do we know that what we have is true? We're saying it's our authority. We're basing our lives and our sacred fortunes on the teachings of Scripture. How can we be absolutely certain that it is true? Well, you'll find out that we can be 100% certain it is true. All of that takes place at the Battle for the Bible 2010 CRI National Conference. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equipbot.org. We'll be right back after the station break with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so please don't touch that dial.
Jesus' last words to his disciples were to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. You can reach Spanish-speaking people with three of Hank's best-selling books in Spanish, The Apocalypse Code, Third Day, and The Prayer of Jesus. Additionally, you can listen to The Prayer of Jesus in Spanish on audio CD. Sharing these resources is a great way to reach out to a family member, friend, or neighbor whose first language is Spanish. To order, go to equip.org or call one of our resource consultants now at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this short break. Set sail for a week at sea with the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Word. This coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010, the 7-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship. The topic throughout our week will be the Word, as we explore the unfathomable riches of the God-breathed Scriptures and how we can apply these great truths to our lives.
To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises. Starting at just $599, cabins are going quickly. So register soon by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101, or by going online to equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. In Ephesians 5:15-16, Paul admonishes believers to be very careful how you live, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Today, evidence abounds of the growing evil in our modern-day culture. False teachers and New Age cults continue to seduce millions with their empty promises and false philosophy. Subscribers to the Christian Research Journal know they will regularly receive timely information on the latest religious trends, as well as practical tips on dealing with the challenges to the Christian faith in a fallen world. To defend your faith with passion and precision, you need to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. To subscribe now, go to www.equip.org or call us at 888-7000-274. We now return to the program with Hank Hanegraaff, host of the Bible Answer Man.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we return to our callers, Hussein, listening on the web in Boynton Beach, Florida. Hi.
Hey, Hank, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good. First off, God bless you and your ministry, and thank you so much for what you do.
Thank you.
Hey, Hank, real quick, I'm studying Exodus, and just in the first chapter, I came across something that I found interesting. In Exodus 1:8-9, it says, "Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, 'Look, the people of the children of Israel are more mightier than we.'" My question is, with Joseph having such a high position in Pharaoh's administration, why do you think he did not remember Joseph but remembered Israel?
Yeah, good question. In that text, I'm pretty familiar with that text. You read that Joseph and all his brothers and that entire generation had died out.
Correct.
Of course, the Israelites kept multiplying in the land, and therefore they became more and more significant as a people group within Egypt. I don't think that the passage, verse 8, that you identified means that the new king did not know Joseph in the sense that he didn't know that Joseph existed, but he had no appreciation for his character or his achievements.
Okay.
Didn't realize perhaps how God had used him to save the Egyptians from starvation, for example. So he was not cognizant of the incredible things that he had accomplished. And we can say that even in contemporary history. I mean, a lot of people that you talk to today, let's say you talk to maybe a high school kid and say, you know, Ronald Reagan, what was one of his great achievements? And they might know some of them, but very likely they won't even know that he stood there and said, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall," you know, between East and West Germany. So There are even examples that we could point to where in contemporary generations, we don't remember what great men of the past have done, even men that only died a very short period ago. So you could imagine after a whole generation, Joseph and his family, children, they die out. And now someone comes to power and he's just not cognizant in terms of appreciation for the character achievements of Joseph.
But not so much that he didn't know who he was or denied that he existed, just pretty much that he really didn't have an appreciation of what it is that he did.
Yeah, it's possible sure. that he didn't know who Joseph was, but I would say unlikely.
Sure.
Yeah.
No problem. Hey, Hank, I'm looking forward to seeing you in May.
Hey, looking forward to seeing you as well.
God bless you.
Hope you come up and say hi.
Sure will.
Okay, man.
Thanks
for your call. We'll go back to phone lines. Let's talk to Drew in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Drew.
Hey, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, pleasure.
I just had a quick question about the role of the Nephilim in Genesis 6. So it says that the sons of God came down and slept with the daughters of men. So is that translated as angels? Actually coming down and reproducing with the daughters of men?
No, absolutely not. That
okay.
is ruled out for a lot of different reasons. One is angels don't have the wherewithal to produce with women in that angels are non-physical.
Okay.
Then further, you can say beyond a shadow of a doubt that angels cannot take on human form because they don't have creative power. That's why Jesus could say, by the way, a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have.
Right.
So his argument was, no, you're not seeing a demonic presence. Angels can't take on, spirits can't take on form. Now, certainly angels can by God's creative power, because God has creative power, but demons don't have that creative power. And if demons did, they could have masqueraded as a resurrected Christ. Now we lose epistemic warrant for the central event in Christianity.
So who exactly were the
Nephilim?
Yes, the Nephilim.
Yeah, well, I think the best interpretation of that passage is that the sons of God simply refers to the godly descendants of Seth and the daughters of okay. men to the ungodly descendants of Cain.
Okay.
Then what happened is there was cohabitation, and that caused humanity to fall into such utter depravity that God said, I will wipe mankind, whom I have created from the face of the earth. If you look
right.
at Genesis chapter 6, the judgment isn't against some kind of a hybrid, some murky mixture of angels and women, but rather it is a judgment against the evils of humanity.
Okay. Very good. All right, that's all I had for you, Hank. Thank you very much, and God bless you.
God bless you, Drew. Thanks for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Tony. He's listening on XM 170 in Pennsylvania. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Hank. How are you today?
I'm doing good. It's great to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, too. You've really helped me grow a lot as a Christian.
Oh, thank you.
Hi, I had a question on the unsaved. I know where we're going to be going someday at the second coming. We'll be resurrected, be with Christ in a new heaven, a new earth. I was wondering where the unsaved would be physically.
Well, we don't know the answer to that, but part of the answer is actually in the prologue to your question when you say, where will they be physically? And I think you've identified correctly that they will be somewhere physically. Because Jesus Christ himself said, do not be amazed at this. A time is coming when all who are in the graves will come out. Some will rise to live and some will rise to be eternally condemned. So on the basis of the words of Jesus Christ himself, every single person who has ever populated the planet will be resurrected. Some to eternal life, which is in the presence of God in a recreated, restored universe, and some to eternal condemnation in physical bodies somewhere within this universe as well.
I see. Okay, well, that answers my question. I really appreciate you taking my call.
Hey, you got it, man. Appreciate your call. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Janice, listening on XM 170 in Mesa, Arizona. Hi, Janice.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. We really appreciate your show, all your answers. You've helped us tremendously.
Oh, great.
Got another one, though.
Okay.
Why are the Jews God's chosen people? And
well,
where can I find that in Scripture? We've got a friend that has a big problem with that, and so we're trying to help him.
Yeah, well, it's kind of interesting, because if you go to the New Testament, the precise terminology that is used to describe the children of Israel in the Old Testament is ascribed to the church in the New Testament. Peter calls them a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So ultimately, God's people are chosen not by virtue of their genealogical relationship to Abraham, but by virtue of their genuine relationship to the living stone, who, of course, is Jesus Christ. He was rejected by men, but chosen by God. So true Israel is people from every tongue and tribe and language and people and nation. So those who God chose in the Old Testament as the seed of Abraham are not a particular genealogical group. They are people from every tongue and tribe and language, because if they believed in Yahweh, the God of Israel, they are the seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise. That's what, why Abraham's name was changed from Abram to Abraham, meant father of many nations. That's why you find Rahab, a Canaanite, in the genealogy of Jesus. That's why you find Ruth, a Moabite, in the genealogy of Jesus. So again, it's not by race, it's by relationship.
Okay, great. Okay. That's what we come to out of the Apocalypse Code, but we wanted to verify, make sure. Thank you very much. God bless.
Thank you so much, Janice. God bless you as well. We are coming to a station break on the other side of the break. We'll be back with more of your questions. To get your question on air, remember the number to dial right now, 888-ASK-HANK. We'll be right back with more of your questions in just a moment.
Get ready to set sail for the adventure of a lifetime. Don't miss our Western Caribbean cruise May 9th through 16th, just a few weeks away. Sailing out of Tampa Bay, Florida, you'll join Hank Hanegraaff and award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp for seven packed days of worship and study on board the stately Carnival Legend. Hank will teach daily on the inerrancy of God's Word, the relationship of the Bible and tradition, and the application of Scripture to today's most pressing issues. Incredibly low rates include all conference fees, accommodations, and dining. Dates in May make it a perfect way to honor mothers or celebrate special graduates. Adventure awaits you and your family. So for more information or to register today, go to our website at equip.org or call our friends at Sovereign Cruises at 877-768-2784, extension 101. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back, so don't go away. Master the defense of the resurrection in minutes and remember it for a lifetime with the latest release of the Hankronym series, Resurrection, Memorable Keys to the Greatest Feat in History. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not merely important to the historic Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity. To make the facts of the resurrection memorable and easily referenced, Hank has developed the Hankronym FEAT and created the second in a series of specifically designed flip charts. Laminated, tabbed, and sized to fit in your pocket, this incredible tool will allow you to defend the truth of the resurrection on a moment's notice. Available for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or when you go online to equip.org.
Now, Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. profoundly changed America with his nonviolent resistance to racial segregation and discrimination, but his philosophy and theology include some dubious beliefs and influences. In this installment of our Philosophers series, we consider how evangelicals should view this complicated African-American leader whose birthday is now marked by a national holiday. In this issue, you'll also find insightful articles on the biblical view of divorce and remarriage. How should Christians handle tithing in the current economic climate? The internet mission field, and all of our regular features that you've come to enjoy.
Call CRI and start your subscription today. 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
Don't all religions lead to God?
What is truth?
Aren't the Bible's views on homosexuality outdated?
What's wrong with Wicca?
Teens question everything. They need real answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has come out with the Bible Answer Book for students.
Hank took all the Q&As from Bible Answer Book 1 and 2 that are important to students and came up with real answers that make sense to us.
82 questions on topics that are on the minds of students today about God, the Bible, eternity, even social issues are covered, like stem cell research, capital punishment, homosexuality, and many others.
The Bible Answer Book for students is perfect to share with your non-believing friends, those looking for spiritual answers, with new Christians, or for you.
The Bible Answer Book for Students by Hank Hanegraaff. Order your copy. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. It's also available online at equip.org.
Every day at the Christian Research Institute, we're encouraged to hear from listeners who share how their lives have been radically changed through the broadcast ministry of CRI and the Bible Answer Man program. And we're excited to help stimulate change agents around the globe. But ministry, especially broadcast radio, requires enormous resources. If the Bible Answer Man program has ministered to you, would you consider standing with us both prayerfully and financially? To donate, call us at 888-7000-274 or visit us on our website at equip.org. And now, back to the program with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our caller. Sean is up next. He's listening in Cleveland, Ohio. Hi, Sean.
Hi, how you doing, Hank?
I'm doing good.
My question was, I heard you just answer a caller. He said, you know, where we know that the people who are saved are going to end up in heaven with Jesus and the Father, and where are all of the unsaved people going to be? And you kind of said, well, we don't really know. And I was just curious why you wouldn't refer to the scripture that says that, that they'll be in the lake of fire, which was prepared for Satan and his angels.
Well, what does that mean, though, is the question, Sean.
What does that mean?
Yeah. In other words, if someone asks me where physically those who are apart from Christ are going to be in a restored universe, I really don't know the answer to that question because the Bible doesn't answer that question for me. Now, it is true.
Location?
It doesn't talk specifically about a geographic location. That's correct.
Okay, so that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
It'll be geographically.
Yeah, exactly, because the lake of fire is a metaphor, isn't it? It is a way of explaining or saying that they're going to be in eternal conscious torment. Just
right.
As the metaphor that Jesus used, where he said that people who are apart from his glory and grace would suffer weeping and gnashing of teeth, and that they would be in a place of darkness. You know, and darkness, of course, is a place without light, but that's a metaphor to say just how horrifying it will be to live apart from the glory and goodness of grace of God. It doesn't mean that it's literally going to be dark. It is a way of us saying if we were in a place of complete darkness with not even a shred of light forever and ever. What a horrifying reality that would be. It would drive anybody crazy on this earth. We know that even through war depictions. The same thing, we know just how horrific fire is when it burns you. And then think of burning sulfur. So these are metaphors for communicating the horrors of living an eternity apart from the goodness of our Savior Jesus Christ.
Okay. All right, so your response is that what you are responding to is geographically you don't know where it is, but they are going to be in torment somewhere.
Yes, exactly. And that's why I was saying to the caller previously, can't, unfortunately, I'm having a senior moment, can't remember the name, but whoever the caller was previously was saying in the prologue to the question that these people would be physical. And I indicated, yeah, you're absolutely right. They will be physical because Jesus said, do not be amazed at this. A time is coming when all who are in the grace will come out. Some will rise to live and some will rise to be eternally condemned. So they will have real physical bodies. Their souls will return to bodies that are resurrected. But those bodies and souls, of course, that's what makes a human being, will live apart from the grace and goodness of God for all eternity, but the Bible simply doesn't tell us where. We know that God is going to restore the universe, and therefore we're going to live in paradise restored, but we really don't know what that's going to be, and we don't know the full extent of that, because God could have universes that we don't know about right now.
Sure.
So we can't absolutely say where geographically, but we can say it will be physical people in physical bodies, again, because God does not wipe out the crowning jewels of his creation because they've chosen to live apart from him. He continues to sustain them in existence even though they have chosen to live apart from him, just as he does in this life. He could wipe every unbeliever out if he wanted to, but he continues to sustain them in existence. And C.S. Lewis put it this way, Sean. He said, there are two kinds of people in the world, those who bow the knee to God and say, thy will be done, and those to whom God says, in the end, thy will be done. In other words, he doesn't force himself on them if they don't want fellowship with him, which he died to provide for them. He allows them to continue in existence apart from that fellowship, which is a horrific existence.
When you say they'll be resurrected with physical bodies, are you referring to the types of bodies that believers will have, that they'll be the same body, it'll just be in torment, or will it be some kind of variation where it's somehow their old physical body recreated, or what are you talking about there?
You know, that's another really profound question, Sean, and I can't give a definitive answer to that. I know that with respect to the resurrected bodies of believers, Paul describes them, they're going to be, those bodies are going to be eternal bodies.
Like Christ.
Yeah.
Able to move between this reality and heaven.
Well, yeah, what is heaven, though? Heaven is this universe restored. It's not a safe place up there somewhere, you know, if you're pointing upward. It is this universe restored.
Well, it exists now, though, doesn't it? I mean,
heaven
exists when he disappeared.
In a sense, yes. It exists now. It does not exist.
Like another dimension or something.
Exactly. When Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, it's really a way of saying that Jesus Christ transcends time and space. The idea that he's ascending and that he's traveling at the speed of light, he's not out of our little universe yet, and he's suffering from oxygen deprivation, certainly wouldn't fit the biblical notion. The notion is, as the God-man, he's able to transcend time and space.
Well, right, but I think it was kind of, he was the firstborn among many. I believe that the type of body that the disciples saw him in at that time was the type of body that we'll have in the resurrection, in that it was visible, it was identifiable, and yet it could move in and out of this reality into whatever the other reality is, heaven, another dimension, whatever you want to refer to it as. but it was identifiable as Jesus.
Yeah, good explanation. And I think this is what you have in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Sean. It says that the perishable will clothe itself with the imperishable, the mortal with immortality. So we will be resurrected immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. But how that can be explained is difficult. The way I like to explain it is that you and I both have DNA. That DNA has flowered, as it were, in a corrupted universe. In the new heavens and the new earth, you'll still have the DNA that makes you you, and I'll have the DNA that makes me me, but those DNAs will flourish in a universe that is no longer subject to the second law of thermodynamics or entropy. So they're not going to devolve. You'll flower to complete perfection and be that way for all eternity. But while we're going to be the same physically, we don't know exactly how we're going to be organizationally. And so I think the point you made is a good point. And likewise, we can't say for certain exactly what an unbeliever's resurrected body will be like. I would imagine the same thing would hold true with an unbeliever. But again, I can't say that with absolute certainty.
I've never really heard anybody bring out the point that they would be in bodies of some type. I've always kind of got the impression that when most people are talking about the resurrection, that those souls, as it were, come before God, the white throne judgment, and then those souls are sent to eternal punishment. I've never really had anybody dwell on the fact that, well, are they just completely spirit, or are they bodies as well?
Sure. Well, what does it mean to be human? To be human means that you are a body-soul unity, doesn't it? And I think, therefore, the words of Jesus Christ are very significant when he talks about the resurrection. They already exist as souls. Jesus Christ describes that in Luke chapter 16, but their souls return to a body, and then they're truly human again, because what it means to be human is to be a body-soul unity. With respect to heaven and earth, and that's the final comment I can make, a very interesting call, by the way, heaven and earth are currently interlocking, overlapping domains, but heaven remains virtually hidden from us. In the resurrection at Christ's second appearing, the veil then will be completely removed. I'm going to have to leave it at that. Again, great question. I'm going to stay in studio for an extra hour once we go off the air. We'll continue taking your calls, so if you're hanging on, do be patient. And if you want your call answered in the next hour, here's the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. You can dial that number now, and I'll be answering your questions for the next hour. Again, thanks for standing with us prayerfully and financially. So long for now.
Hank Hanegraaff has created the perfect tool to build and pass along your spiritual heritage. It's the Legacy Study Bible. Hank has meticulously crafted this study Bible to help give you some of the same insight and understanding you receive from him on the Bible Answer Man. The book introductions are all written by Hank using his well-known acronym LEGACY, which stands for Location, Essence, Genre, Author, Context, and Years. With timelines and charts, an extensive concordance, four-color maps, and much more. Order your copy today. Call 888-7000-CRI. Look for it online at equip.org. That's EQUIP.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
From Genesis to Revelation, every word of the New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors and narrated by Michael York.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
With sound design by one of the top studios in the industry and scored with original music composed and conducted by Maestro Stefano Manetti. The Word of Promise Audio Bible puts the listener in the moment when Moses leads the children of Israel, Daniel walks into the lion's den, and when Jesus lives as man here on earth.
Order the Word of Promise audio Bible on CD or MP3 from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org.